yes, they've designed their system, as I mentioned before, as long as we do exactly what their system demands, we're fine. But that doesn't resolve what really needs to happen. Their system has said, you do it our way, and you can write a system that way, but we have all these other peripheral problems as a result of that. And so I think the audit needs to expand what they're trying to figure out, where the problem is.
And that's what we've invited them to do. We've given them information of the broader problems, and what we've asked is just for an objective assessment of the system, so we know what we're dealing with and what needs to be improved, or we know we're up in the night on this one. If we're up in the night, tell us we're up in the night on this one. We don't think so, but...
Part of the problem is the courts, I don't think really... The computer programs, they don't really understand our processes.
Yes.
And they don't understand where their weaknesses are because they don't know what the process
is. And they invited us into the tape.
Exactly. And so it's really hard to get an objective view of it because they don't even know what they're looking for. And so if they're calling around and saying, you know, is e-filing working? Well, yeah, it's working. But it's costing us a lot of money. We're duplicating all our input. There are all these issues that have been brought up with the problems of the system, from summons to warrants, everything else. They're not asking those questions.
I was telling Dan that Stalin was also popularly elected. So
yeah, that's
so true. Just because we're running out of time, so we can be very specific, so that we can send out this request to the counties and the cities. What information do you all need to gather to bring them down to the county executive?
Why don't you and Blake coordinate, and maybe he can give you the information. You send it out and gather that information.
And invite you all, and I'm going to encourage him to invite you all to come down and share your experience, because I think it's important. This is a statewide issue. This impacts every single one of our offices. It has a huge fiscal impact on all of us. And at the end of the day, we just want a system that works. We want to be able to do our job effectively and efficiently.
Well, and as far as the legislature, I mean, Blake brings up a good point, and Tyson mentioned it, and Paul knows this, that the legislature, they live on anecdotes. And you talk about a child sex offender not being able to be held in jail because of e-filing. We get those stories out, and hopefully they'll put some pressure on who's doing the audit. I mean, they have a lot on us. That bugs me because, and Paul can correct me on this one, but I don't know that the ALC has a great reputation right now in front of the legislature.
But, you know, candidly,
it ebbs and flows.
They can fix the warrant issue. Because that came up immediately back in January. And it got fixed over the course of 4 months. Now, are there still some exceptions to the rules? Yeah, they're still happening. But I have to say the warrant issue is fixed. The problems that we're having now don't have the same sex appeal. But they're systemic across the Taliban system, and it has this huge fiscal impact on our operations because it's pushing a lot of work to our side, in addition to, you know, causing us to look at systems to interact with theirs that is not interactable yet and that are still being designed, and thus our costs will climb as we start to get into this.
I think part of the problem, I'm sorry, Judge, but...
No, I'm just saying, Bob, I know you're short of time, but if you have 3 or 4 minutes, you really need some background of where this is coming from, where the motivations are, and what we're up against. Every time I hear fiscal impact, I don't want to say anything, but I want to say something. So when CIVIL was rolled out late 2010, I was presiding judge of the 3rd District. For 15 years, I had a good relationship with Dan Becker, and then I went to hell, because they rolled out a half-assed piece of work that created so many problems you wouldn't believe it. I and others stood up and said, what are you doing? You're creating more work, you're creating all these problems. But remember, that was in the middle of all the budget issues. Dan was on this crusade, he's still on, to show that the courts can do more with less. But what's happening is the less is being pushed onto more for users. So what was rolled out at first in CIVIL was absolutely unworkable. A judge could take care of on the e-system, could review and sign something in about 8 to 10 minutes that he or she could do in 30 seconds on paper, which we didn't think was an efficiency. Eventually, I brought it up at a judicial conference. I retired in 11, but early in 11, I brought it up at a conference. And I was accused of going on a rant and I don't do too many rants, and I rarely do them without alcohol. But I didn't do it, I don't think. But Dan and I had a real blow up over it. Bottom line is, they did go ahead and make huge improvements in civil, although they're not all there. It's like we talk about these emails on scheduling. I still say, why am I getting emails on scheduling? In any event, Dan is going to keep playing the game because he has to. He has reduced staff. He wants to reduce them further. He wants to look like the guy who can save a bunch of money, and then they can get other benefits through maybe more judges, which is probably needed. You say Schwermer's on the committee.
Yeah.
Dan and Schwermer are the experts in massaging the audits reports and then dealing with the legislature on that. Schwermer's not there to fix it. He's there to deal with the audits and get the legislature not to bring in any consequences. I spent 6 years on the management committee of the Judicial Council. I'm way too infected by this stuff. But in any event, we've got to just make it really clear that we are going to stand up for our needs, and we are not going to be the source of budget savings in the AFC. But Dan's been in there 20 years. He is damn good. So don't underestimate, not the enemy. He's a brilliant guy, and I admire him. I've learned a lot from him. But he thinks about 3 or 4 years out. He's just got, I think we need to get in a relationship where we're in the process. And we're saying, okay, we've identified this. Ron, who runs the IT, is a brilliant guy. They've got a great staff. If they know it, they can fix it. How do we get inside this? I guess it's the question. We've got to find a way in. Not that helpful, but that's your climate.
Yeah. And we've asked to be invited many times throughout this process from 2014 to the current. I think our last email begging for us to be involved, we just went out about a month and a half ago.
The audit, if you do a good job reporting to the audit, and I got a call, and I said, well, what's it about? Because I do civil a lot. I prosecute too, believe it or not. It's pretty pathetic, but I do it. I was in justice court yesterday. But they said, the first word out of the audit was warrants. So I used to shovel it to Matt. I don't know if they asked me on warrants. We need to broaden that too, make sure they've got it. The court will be responsive to the audit. But the more we get in there, the better too.
Especially if our objective is to come up with a better system.
And I was going to say, Judge, you hit it with the sense that we got is that when the e-filing system was sort of to be done, certain promises were made to the funding level based on those promises to the legislature. So they've got themselves in a box.
They
have to perform and say that this is no problem, that they were going to be able to roll it out. And the more issues that come up, there is a fiscal impact to it, there's also a procedural impact and the efficiency impact, and so what they want is they want no complaints whatsoever. And if there is any function, it then gets pushed to them because their system is perfect. And so the sense that we got was that they are boxed into this commitment that they made to the legislature, and they just don't want to go outside of that, because if they do, then they would have to admit what they proposed wasn't right. And so that's what we keep sort of getting a sense of.
Well, in fact, when Bob and I were meeting with Representative Hutchins, that's exactly what he said too. Because when we brought up the concern that they did not have an adequate budget for the e-filing system, he said, what are you talking about?
We gave them the money.
I asked him repetitively, are you sure that's enough? And they kept giving me assurances that that was enough. So that appears to be exactly what's going on with their mindset.
Okay, so I'll get with Blake. We'll come up with a list of questions or information that we need. We'll send it out, compile it all, discuss it in November, and then we can go from there, come up with a body representative from UPC to go to the AOC with the findings. So we'll do that.
Do you want to make this a special UPC meeting?
Instead of,
because otherwise it's the county attorney's meeting with a few people in there, and really, if you just have a special UPC meeting, you got all the players.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's a good idea.
Who can vote?
And we can look at that on our, it's coming up meeting schedule, so we can
we'll
just a thought, Steve.
Yeah, no, thank you, Paul. Appreciate
let's go.
That.
Let's go and move on to the next item.
Yeah. Let's see.
It's UPAC.
Yeah, UPAC. I just referred to the notes. It's still in the name. You can see the minutes from that meeting. So let me go to the UPC employee status. So, as was mentioned, I didn't get a return on my email to try to schedule a meeting that we had talked about a couple of times ago. So this is what I'm operating on, unless I'm told otherwise. So UPC employees were also employees of the AG's office. Donna, Ed, and I are what are considered exempt. Ron and Marilyn are merit. So my understanding is because we're primarily UPC employees, the AG can't fire us. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I guess it would remain to be seen, but it's, my understanding is that you guys, the council, with the input from the AG, can fire me. I can fire with approval of the council under input from the AG's office and either remain a UPC employee. So that's my understanding. As employees of the AG's office, we're bound by the AG's official media policy. This was the issue that we discussed a couple of while ago. I provided copies to all my staff. We're all familiar with what that policy is. Now, the exceptions is we don't need the Attorney General's approval or prior approval if we're making statements that's a personal nature, you know, as a Bob Church citizen. And we don't need their approval if it's about UPC business. Now, we have to make it clear that we're not speaking on behalf of the AG's office, and so if a reporter and interviewer delves into topics affecting the AG's office, my staff knows that we immediately know and say, hey, look, we can't speak on this, contact the AG's media division. If they continue down that road, then we can terminate the interview. Certainly, if that happens, we'll notify the AG's office, Justice Division Director, if questions come up about the AG's office. And then in terms of appearances before the legislature, again, Ed, Donna, and I don't need the AG's approval if we're there strictly on UPC matters. Again, we'll state unequivocally that we're not there on behalf of the Attorney General's office, but again, we'll give a courtesy notice that's taking place. And then in terms of specific legislation related to Donna and Ed's expertise, again, just reiterating, they're not here on behalf of the AG's office. If they're requested to appear on behalf of another interested party, not UPC related, then we'll notify the council that request has come through. On non-AG related matters, and then any matters that Ed or Donna are asked to testify about that do affect the AG's office, of course, then we would go through their internal policy, making sure that we have their permission. So that's what I'm operating on. Now, in terms of employee incentive awards, I'll use the AG's office has come up with just some criteria and see the need to create anything new. It's just basically, has an employee done something that's worth noting, that's meritorious? Is it cost saving? Is it innovative? Is it all these other things? But so the question really becomes is who gets to determine which, or the way the process works is that any employee of the AG's office can nominate any other employee for an award. So Donna can nominate Marilyn for an award, and vice versa. And so what happens then is the person who is making the nomination writes up a summary, and it goes to the Justice Division's, the directors of the Justice Division. We all sit down and review it and have an open meeting to discuss, and then that group decides how much an award is going to be. But because the money is coming out of the UPC's budget, do you guys want to have a say in that, or do you want the AG's office, the Justice Division directors, to be determining if the UPC employee gets an award and how much?
My sense is right. The official reasons why you guys are part of them is because you need a place to sort of be connected to the state system. Mm-hmm. The UPC function is actually sort of a quasi-policy function, very directed different sometimes, and can be in conflict with the AG's office. The executive committee is sort of the advisory, is sort of your supervisory entity in terms of the advisory role that we play in terms of giving you policy direction. So if you look at that and how the hiring occurs and the firing and discipline sort of has to go through that, I think that it would be, I see it that if you guys think that there's somebody who's done something, you bring it to the executive committee, they give you the approval, and then that's forwarded off to them as they basically processing of that document under their model. Okay? I mean, that seems to me logical. I don't think that's something that the AG should be doing directly with you guys. It's really, I think, the advisory board or the executive committee's.
So are you talking in the amount of the award or just your the initial approval, yes.
I think we can. I think we can follow their methodology because that's what needs to be done, and we can do it either way. We can either have the final say on it or approve it and send with a strong recommendation to the AG saying that we think that you ought to support this. As the executive council committee, we looked at it for this person.
Okay. Or do you want it to go through their process and then come to us?
Yeah.
Or
for approval. If it's going, they can recommend to us. If it's our budget, we approve.
Yeah. That's fine too.
Like if they want to recommend.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but Steve, you're right.
Do we have a budget for those?
Yeah.
The only reason I'm saying maybe we should do it rather than them is because again. Thank you for giving me all the stuff, which I understand. If you're part of their structure, obviously they don't want you to say anything against them, and I respect that. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to talk and if it impacts them, you shouldn't, and you need to say verbally, right? I get that.
Right.
But I also want to make sure that your guys' existence continues to be as independent from the AG's office as possible. And so I don't want them to sort of control which one of you guys gets bonuses and which one doesn't get it, because that's a financial incentive by which to build bias into it. Or take, for example, as you said, and I'll say it right now, I mean, you can't say it, but it's like, last legislative session, we got sandbagged by the AG's office when it came to the statewide system. The reason he's having to vendor out with municipalities is because we had all agreed that there would be one model, and it was the AGs who came at the last funding component and said they couldn't create a model for it. Okay, fine. So we're going to have positions which are going to be contrary to the AG's position if they're going to go off by themselves. And I want as much independence for the people who are working within the UPC from a policy perspective.
So I think what I would think that we look at is we go ahead and then we can do that process. However, if Bob you think someone in UPC, either got bypassed or other people got snubbed, then in spite of that, independently of that, you could come to us and say, hey, the AG's office didn't think that this happened, but I think this person should be.
But if you let AG drive that part of the incentive, then they can sort of say, well, you guys aren't playing by us, so we're not going to nominate anybody from your.
We do it independently.
So long as we can have that independence to do it, then I think that'd be great.
Because anybody at the AG's office can nominate anyone, is that correct?
Correct.
So I think if someone is nominated through an AG out of your office, they can go through the process of the AG's office. If it's going to come out of our budget, we need to approve that. But we also have our
and if nominates, then we can still nominate, we can forward it to the AG's office.
I mean, because that's the challenge, is not very many employees of the AG's office really
know what you guys are doing.
Right. So I don't have a problem using the same type of system they use, and we can do our own if we need to. But I also don't want to stub anyone's chances of being recognized by the AG's office as well, even though we're paying for it.
Well, I can tell you right now that I've already been told that there would, that's the whole issue with the incentive award specifically, is because of this weird relationship we have, is no UPC employee can be paid any money out of the AG's pot of incentive money. That's why it has to come out of my budget.
Right.
So even if some other employee of the AG's office nominated Donna for an award that went before the AG, they would turn it down, or they would come to me and say, okay, well, this has to come out of your budget.
Right, and I'm fine with approving or disapproving those things.
Yeah.
What I don't want to happen is that somebody say, well, I can't nominate Donna in the AG's office because she's not eligible. We can approve those awards or disapprove those awards, but I also don't want to not give you guys a chance.
Well, it affects lots of things other than this award issue. I mean, what level of attorney I am is now being decided by the AG's office. Where my office is, I was told that I would have an office right next to Bob's, but then when that office became available, they changed that. I mean, it's lots of little things that it's an uncomfortable relationship, I think, for at times for both agencies. But I agree that we should try to be as independent as possible. I mean, at one time we, you know, even looked at maybe having some different office space so that there would be a physical, you know, difference that, you know, made it more clear that we're an independent agency that's governed by a council. But I mean, it affects lots of things, is all I'm saying. It's not just the award issue.
Right.
It's
right.
Lots of things.
It has subtle. It introduces subtle bias and subtle control, and which I think is not something that this staff should be undergoing or experiencing.
Yeah.
You know, the function for it, the positions that you take are sort of collected for us as policy positions.
Right. It's for the whole state,
it's
not just
the
AJ's
state.
Office.
So if I have nominations for my employees, let's say I happen to have them, do I have to give them to you first or to funnel to the AG?
I think it doesn't matter to me as long as we play a role in it, because by playing a role in it, we take the monopoly from one agency over you. Okay, you see what I'm saying? So that, I think that's all we want to do. It serves as a checks and balance. If there's somebody at the AG's office who recognizes that the work that you've done and you're part of that, they want to recommend that, hallelujah, that's fantastic. Okay? But I don't want it to ever be that we're never going to do that because you guys didn't play ball with us, and you should be able to nominate your own people in there, and we should be able to approve it and say it's they're state employees. The funding is here. It's coming out of this budget. We've looked at it. We think it's a valid award. We have to give it to you to just sort of go through your process, go through the process so it's legitimized, and here it is.
Well,
you know?
I think if it's going to have an effect on your employee status in the AG's office, we should sit it first with the AG's office so
yes.
They get credit for that.
Yeah.
And then we can approve it in
yeah.
the end.
Okay.
And give our stamp of approval on that. I don't want them to miss out on anything by us taking it over.
No.
I think they should all the benefit they deserve.
And
I think it would be recognized regardless of what source, because it would have to go under the same methodology, which is authorized
yeah.
by their internal HR policy, which is the incentive.
Right.
Okay. Quickly, horse soaring. This was an issue that I was asked to bring before the council. Over time, really what this person, what's her name? Suzanne?
I say, yeah, we support that.
We should support it. Okay.
That's my thought on it.
Why?
More discussion? Not, well,
yeah, why?
It's just an animal abuse situation that goes on.
What is it?
It's where they, the high stepping horses, they put the harsh chemicals on them so they'll actually go quicker.
Yeah, they soak it in their hooves in this chemical.
And so then, they don't want to touch the ground.
Right, but then not only that, they're allowed to put these little bracelets that tap against their hoof that without the chemicals is supposed to increase it, but the fact that it's now, you know, been poisoned, it's even more painful, so it increases the gait even further.
I think we need to take a look and see how specific we're going to get in our support on stuff like this.
Yeah.
I mean, Doberman Club, the crop eaters, the mean protesters come to Morgan. I mean, with all the big issues we have here, for us to take these issues that are usually reserved for activists, I just think we need to be careful associating with groups like that. So,
right, that's what I'm bringing
to
council.
Is our logo going to show up next to you know, some of these animal rights groups? And if it is, then my vote's no.
In my county, it's a pig wrestle. I'm serious.
It was horse tripping at the legislature last year, but I don't want our logo next
what's
to a bunch of wackos.
Oh yeah, this is our third issue. This is
why is this a UPC issue instead of swap issue?
It should be swap issue, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Only because
a lot of
this person contacted me.
Yeah.
And I just said I would bring up the issue.
Yeah.
I'm going to defer to you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm passing it on to you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Let's see the proposed meeting schedule.
That keeps you out of trouble when you're asking for money.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
The one
got enough trouble already.
Had some different January dates. So here are the proposed. If you look at the handouts we gave you today, we just need to choose for January, either the 8th or the 15th.
We've always got the earlier date.
Right.
So we're not too close to the session.
So we want to go with the 8th. Okay, the 8th it is. Then the rest, okay, April, it coincides with spring conference. So then in June, either June 10th or the 17th.
Martin Luther King Day is the 18th. I don't know.
that's a holiday or not.
January? He's moving to June.
He's moving to June.
He's all the way to June.
Sorry.
Now we're meeting on January 8th, which is well, 17th will probably be an interim day.
All right, June 10th it is. Okay. Any other business?
Or not, I don't know.
Are we going to put that special meeting on for November?
Yes, but I mean that have to coincide with our UAC.
Right.
So, and I think so, maybe
you were better go to St. George.
Yeah, so it'll be in St. George.
So we'll
just add it on. You can just add it on as a session on there where you invite everybody to be there.
It's the November.
It's usually for us up there in UAC, it's usually a Thursday or a Friday breakout sessions that we have. We can just work it into probably one of those breakout sessions.
12-13, right?
Yes. Yeah. So, Mark, can we bring it up maybe at the UCCDA?
Yeah, we'll be talking about how we do the breakouts tomorrow, and we can add that.
Yeah, just add that on into the.
Any other business from anyone?
Some business. We put together this memory book from Bob Stock. We got it around the previous year. If you'd like to just write a note, please come get the book.
With that, then, a motion to close.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We're done.